Welcome to the Mosaic of Marion, a weekly podcast hosted by Dr. Henry M. Meadows, Jr. and presented by Marion Baptist Church in Chatham, Virginia. It is our sincere hope that you'll join us each week as we explore what it means to be part of God's big picture through biblical discussions about the saving power of Jesus Christ and what it means for our lives each and every day, starting today.
Hey, what's up out there, podcast land? How you guys doing? This is the Mosaic of Marion, and we are ready to rock and roll today. Woo!
Woo!
God is so good. Just finished up a revival at my son's church, man. What a great time we had there. Now we are in revival. We got Smooth Vibe. Hey, I want to encourage you, if you have not listened to all the messages from the Sunday that this drops, the Sunday just before this drops, hey, go back, Smooth Vibe. Hey, Smooth, what's up, bro? He's going to be here preaching Sunday morning through Wednesday night. So, hey, if you're hearing this Tuesday, come Tuesday night.
And you got Wednesday one day night. Left.
You got 2 days. So, I am Hank Meadows. I'm pastor of Marion Baptist Church. My girl Mona right there, she's my home slice over there, the OG.
Hey, hey.
She's over there. I got my man, old Pumpkin Eyes, the Beano himself, Beano the board, Danny Boy.
Someone needs to limit this man's coffee intake. I'm just saying.
Whoa.
I don't know. He's all wound up.
Yeah. Things have been hectic, shall I say. I have felt some of the stress of my life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've been running. I mean, Brazil, right. We run back, revival, this. It's just a little bit of everything. So I think today is the first time I've really been able to breathe.
Yeah, but you're not really, because you're so busy.
Well, I'm busy, but I have everything on the table now.
Got it.
You know, coming into the week, I didn't know that I had everything on the table. I didn't know where
at
it
least
was.
The table is built now.
The table, yeah, the table is built, man. I lost part of the table. One person came in the other day and went, "This table is smaller than your other." I said, "No, it's actually a touch bigger." "No, your other one came out to here." I said, "Cause that was another piece."
That's right.
When it's buried under papers, you just assume it's all one piece. Yeah,
exactly. So this has made me straighten up my office a little bit. So that's really good, but that's enough about me. Let's go to God's word. So I think we're teaching and going to be leading on something today that folk need to hear.
Mm. Yep.
Not necessarily pleasant to hear.
No.
But
no.
Needed. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know. I mean, taking casserole oil wasn't good back in the day, but it was the best they had, and sometimes you had to take it.
Mm-mm.
Yeah. You know. So we're talking about the fact that, hey guys, you're not real good.
Hmm.
Just gonna let that hang out there for a second.
Yep.
No matter how many times your mom told you were, your daddy, your grandma, grandpa, whoever, you're not good. Now you're gonna say, well, who do you think you are to tell me that you don't even know me? A bunch of people that are listening, I don't know you. Hmm. Well, I can say that because I'm not the standard.
Right.
I was about to say, you're in good company. We're not good either.
No, I'm not good either. Yeah. Let me say that. I'm not good either. And I can say it about me because I know me. But we're going to get into all that. So anything before we jump in? Y'all got anything? I know I've been sort of caffeinated up.
I know. We're
good. Yeah, yeah. Just neck's a little sore from whipping around from everything going so fast here. But, you know. I'm not surprised at this point. I'm kind of used to it, so we're good.
Yep. So we're in Romans chapter 3. So the funny thing is, y'all, I'm going to give you another little backstory. Real quick. Every week, seemingly now, at the end of whatever we're taping, I'll say, next week we're going to deal with this.
It has been true recently. Yep.
And then we get to the day, either the day before or the day of, and we're going, what are we talking about? And I will give Mona props. Most of the time, she'll say, oh, we're talking about this. And it's only because Dan and I basically don't listen to our podcast.
Nope.
Mona does.
I barely listen to it when I'm editing it.
In about once a month. I'll go back and listen to one just to make sure where we're at. I just don't like to hear myself.
Yep.
Whatever, and I don't like that. But, and you know, so I'd listen to Goose of Grace and they're, I'm not going to say the word that just came into my mind. Their depth of study. How about that? I heard y'all got into a deep one in Genesis the other day.
Passionate one, if not deep. I don't know.
So Mona, you should be in Romans 3 now. Mona is going to read. She's going to start then Let's just start at verse 9, Mona, and then read. I really want you to read all the way to 26, but that's just too much.
Sounds like what you asked Drew to do.
Yeah.
All right.
So just, I tell you what, stop at verse, we might spend a little bit of time here.
Okay.
Okay, so that way we don't just sort of give it a little wink and a nod, you know. So read through verse 12. Start at verse 9, read through verse 12.
Okay. What then? Are we Jews any better off? No, not at all. For we have already charged that all, both Jews and Greeks, are under sin. As it is written, none is righteous, no, not one. No one understands, no one seeks for God. All have turned aside. Together they have become worthless. No one does good, not even one.
All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this time where we can come together in your word and share it with those who would listen. We just pray that as we go through this, that we're processing and taking heed of everything that we're sharing, is not just sharing it, but also applying it to our own lives, Heavenly Father. And we just thank you for giving us your word. It is a gift, and we thank you for the fact that it changes lives and hearts and eternities. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Whew, Dan, you scared me. You said it changes. I said, if he said it changes, we're going to have to stop everything, and he and I are going into closed session counseling. When you said it changes, I was so glad you came out with lies.
Yes.
I was never so worded through a prayer of yours in my life. You think I'm kidding? I was sitting over here. If you'd have looked up, I was looking at you like, what is he about to say?
We're so thankful that changes with whatever we feel that day.
I was like, what is he saying? So,
what is happening?
Oh, that's great.
My goodness. So, Mona,
huh?
Give me the context of chapter 3. Give me the context of 1 through the first 8 verses of chapter 8.
Yes, please.
Thanks, man, thanks. So, well,
it's simple.
Okay, good. I'm glad you think so. I think the context is the fact that laying out the fact that man is sinful and God has given us over to our sinful, but we can obtain his righteousness through Jesus. And so it's kind of making that contrast between our sin and God's righteousness.
Right. Yeah. And really he gets to that last part at the end of chapter 3. Mm-hmm. And we're going to get to that. That's what I said, just looking at it, we've sort of laid it all out. I want to stay in chapter 3 for a while, a couple weeks.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll get 3-4 weeks in and be like, let's go somewhere. But yeah. You got anything, Dan?
I was just saying, it shows you we're talking about change. Shows you how little we change, because it's this idea of the Jews and Gentiles say, they do this, but we do this, and and nowadays what do we do? Well, their sin's worse than my sin, and we forget that still puts us as both sinners. So why does it matter?
And by the way, God, we don't read where God categorizes,
right, sins. Makes that delineation.
He doesn't rack and sack them like we do.
Yeah.
I like that. He doesn't rack them, sack them, man. Wouldn't they rock them, sock them? Like this back in the day.
I heard something different than I heard.
He sure did. I said rack and stack.
I thought he said rack and sack them.
We know what you think I said.
Somehow we ended up with a biblical rock and sock of robots. I don't know.
You remember that?
Yes.
Those are the best, though, I must say.
I mean, I really thought you said rack 'em, sack 'em. I'm like, wow, that's a great. I'm going to remember that.
Oh, if it helps you remember.
But in the midst of it, now, the one thing that I do think that you left out in that, you're down, is that, and maybe you were speaking it, and I just, obviously I'm not hearing well. That God has righteous judgment in it. Mm-hmm. Chapter 2 really talks a lot about the righteous judgment of God and how the law points to that. And then his righteous upheld. So then we get to, and Dan, you're dead on point. Both of you were. He puts down there both Jews and Greeks, and he's using the term Greek there to mean Gentiles, are under sin. And I started down, I said, it speaks to total depravity.
Mm-hmm.
And the dynamic of sin, that it is not just the Gentiles are sinners, which many Jews would have looked at the writing of this, but we're all sinners. Let's just be honest. Society breaks down to two groups.
Mm-hmm.
No, not Jew and Gentile. Nope.
Mm.
saved
yep.
or unsaved.
Right. Yep.
You fall into one of those two categories. That there's no other category.
Right.
And here's the truth. Saved folk go to heaven. Mm-hmm. Unsaved folk go to hell.
Right.
Why did you laugh?
Just the way you say it and the faces you're making, that's all.
I mean, is there any...
But it's true. Absolutely true.
To all my Catholic friends, I love you. I don't see purgatory nowhere. You don't be holding, and I can't be baptized for you. I don't see that in Scripture anywhere. I've read the book a bunch of times. So you want it too.
Yep.
And the moment you draw your last breath, there you go.
Right.
So any other thoughts as we jump into this about verse 9 there and we get into there's none righteous and folk want to write us?
Well, it's just
messages.
the fact that the Bible offends, it does not change, but it does offend.
It's good that it offends.
Yeah, well, that's the thing, because the reason it offends is because by being truth, it has to be in conflict with a world that is living just a life filled with falsehoods.
Yes, well put. But I was thinking somewhere along those lines,
mm-hmm.
if it offends because it is truth, mm-hmm. bam, and it's unchanging, bam. Mm-hmm. But if it did change and it offend you, just wait a while. It'll come back around to you where it won't offend you.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
But this book is never going to change. Mm-hmm. I don't want to go there. Mona, what's your thoughts?
Well, as we are going to deal with these verses in chapter 3, as I was looking at this earlier, that, you know, many of us know verse 23, that for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and that is our evangelistic tool, and it's a great one, it's truth, but to think about it in light of what the whole chapter is saying. And so that verse links right back to what he's saying in verse 9, that it is all of us who have sinned. It is all of us who are in sin. It is all of us who have been born with a sin nature. And so just recently, I've kind of seen those verses, that in chapter 6 also, just in context.
Mm-hmm.
Because we pull them out of context. We don't pull them out of context in a bad, negative way. But
we just pull them out here.
To use them. And we don't misuse them. But it is interesting to me to see them in context.
Yeah, and before we leave this chapter, we're going to deal with who knows John 3:17?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And 18. They are powerful.
Right.
Who knows John 3:24 and 25?
Mm-hmm.
When we get, they are powerful.
Mm-hmm.
But we just pull out, we're like, okay, here, and we rightfully use it. That's the whole context, is for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Amen.
Right.
But it's weird, that seems so much less offensive. I don't know why. Like, we don't really blink at that one. We're like, oh yeah, okay. And then we come to this and it's like, oh wait a minute, what? Yeah, that's so strange.
Because I think people think, although I'm a sinner, I can still be good.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm. This uses that word. I think people get hung up on the word. There's none good. Because you say, well, that's a good person.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah. Maybe morally.
Uh-huh.
Maybe morally they are, but no, they're not.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I said it, I think, in a sermon in revival. I was wound up one night. And
just one night.
So one guy
find
asked,
that so hard
one to guy asked me, do you preach this hard at your own church? So I said, let Drew answer that. Let your pastor at the, he said, no. And the guy sort of looked in front of Drew and said, he preaches hard.
He's taking it easy on you guys.
But why is it that we can make this statement? And I don't, look, it's not a... Well, it is offensive to some, but the truth of the matter is we're not good. Why?
Why are we not good?
Yeah.
Because we're sinful, because we've been born with a sin nature. And so being good is not in our ability. We're not able to be good because we are full of sin.
Well, I was going to say, because from day one, we're in conflict with God.
Yeah.
And we don't think, we say, well, no, I don't hate God, but we're told our lives filled with sin that we love is in conflict with God because of his righteousness.
Mm-hmm.
Well, do you remember the story of the rich young ruler?
Yeah. I mean, that's, yeah.
That really answers the question.
Mm-hmm.
And you're both exactly right. And I'm going to add a third truth to it too, because the standard is not my standard.
Right.
Right.
It's not any standard of mine. It's God's standard. So if you want to be good, and if we find you know exactly where that's at, the rich young ruler, I can't put my hand right on it.
Isn't it John 3?
Is it John
3? That came and asked Jesus? No, that was Nicodemus.
That was Nicodemus. I can't put Mark 8 or 9 or 10 maybe. You can look those up. He comes running up and he says, good teacher. And Jesus says, and you can back me up when you find this. I want you really to find and back me up. Jesus says, why do you call me good? There's no one good but God. There in his one place, Jesus basically said, are you sure you want to call me mm-hmm. God? Mm-hmm. Because there's none good, no, not one.
Mm-hmm.
We're not good. Because the standard to be called good is God.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Is the law. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you want to really be technical, yeah. to be called good, you fulfill the law.
Mm-hmm.
And how could God not call you good?
Right.
The problem is we can't uphold the law.
Right.
If we could, Jesus wouldn't have needed to die for
why,
us.
Why
yeah.
did he come? And I mean, Jesus fulfilled the righteous requirements yeah. of the law. Did you find it?
No, I don't.
Sorry. I'll find it. All right, y'all talk.
Well, I want to go back to something you kind of brought up just a little bit. The idea of, well, you know, an idea I had a great Christian grandmother.
Listen to me, Mark 10.
Who was a great example. But at the same time, like I say, I had a good grandmother. She was good to me. And she was good by our worldly standards of what a family member should be to somebody, things like that. But that doesn't change the fact that even as much as I love her and she was just fantastic, she was a sinner. Because was she born? Yes. Then we know she was a sinner.
That's
like
right,
that's the
yeah.
litmus test right there. And so I think we really struggle with that. And I think we struggle with it with family members. And then especially when people pass away, all of a sudden we want to make them saints.
Yeah.
And we don't want to deal with the fact that they were sinners. And the only thing that determines whether or not they're in heaven or not is not where we want them to be. It's what they did with Jesus Christ.
Right, right. So anyway, so I was right, Mark 10. Try to tell you. You don't want to listen to me. I did say Mark okay. 10.
I heard him mumble something about
I said
Mark.
It's either Mark 8, 9, or 10.
And he was like, okay. You go find it. I'm not worried.
And it says, literally, as Mark 10, 17, as he was setting up on his journey, a man ran up and knelt before him and asked, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus said, why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot, by no stretch, I don't care who you are. Whether you're a good grandma, a good grandpa, mm-hmm. you give all of your money away, you're gonna have bad thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Every once in a while, you're not gonna sit around having good thoughts about everybody all the time.
What?
Your eyes are gonna see something, and it's gonna take you to a place that you would not have went on your own, but you went there, and by going there. And if you ponder,
mm-hmm.
you sin.
Right.
I mean, I've said all along, if you want to go to heaven on your own, just live perfectly from absolute your
That's
first
all.
Breath
yeah.
until your last breath. Live perfectly. God would have no reason to keep mm-hmm. you out of heaven, would he?
Right.
I mean,
right.
would he?
No.
If you never committed to sin.
No.
Then you could say you're good.
Right.
But then you also have to not have the pride to say, look how good I'm living. So there you go.
I mean, the truth is you're not going to
yeah,
do it.
Yeah, you can't do it, yeah.
But
the truth is, I mean, tell me if this isn't true, but I mean, the truth is that because we are born in our humanity, that sin is in us, and that's why Jesus had to have God as his father and not an earthly father.
Yeah. Now, sin doesn't come from the daddy.
Right.
It comes from both of you.
Right.
But something had to break.
I was like, it comes from the mom.
So something had to break that.
Right.
What's the word I'm looking for? It had to break that. The
inheritance.
I am struggling here. Throwing somebody a life vest.
It's so enjoyable, though.
You struggle so little, not very often.
But something
break that sinful bloodline? Is that what
Yeah, yeah.
Is that
so, yeah, we'll go. Something had to break that sinful bloodline of sinful mom, sinful dad, mm-hmm. coming together, making right. sinful baby. And the only way to do it was God to implant. And by the way, and I've never really thought, I mean, I'm
this
sure
that's happening in real time.
Yeah, this is happening in real time. I mean, the virgin part, that plays into it somehow. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I can't, my mind is running like literally 14,000 light speed seconds away right now. I don't know. I'd have to sit down and write out and think out that whole deal. But so she's a virgin and it's God. There's something about being the firstborn. Okay, so now it's coming in. Something about being, God was the firstborn of all creation, the firstborn. Mm-hmm. He's all. So he was the firstborn of Mary. So she was a virgin. Yes, she was a virgin. Her and Joseph did not have
right.
do the deed and then say, well, this is Jesus. So he came because that sin cycle, that sin copulation, whatever you want to say, had to be broken in a way for God to get involved. Mm-hmm.
Right.
But he had to be human too.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
That's why he didn't die for the fallen angels. He didn't die for the enemy, who was a fallen angel too. We needed us.
Right.
We needed one of us. And some people go like, well, wait a minute. He's not us, is he? Yes, he is. He is 100% man. Right. He was born like we were. He died like we die. He was hungry. He was thirsty.
I was about to say he was tempted just like
you. He cried. He was tempted in all ways, except he never sinned.
Right.
Everything that you and I go through, he went through as a human.
Right.
But he was also 100% God.
Yep.
He raised the dead. He accepted worship. Mm-hmm. He healed hands. I wonder how many folk Jesus, you ever stop and thought about this? I wonder how many folk Jesus actually healed.
Right, that we're not told about.
We're
only told a small portion.
Well, at some point, I can't think of where, it essentially alludes to the fact that at some point in the area he was in, there were no more sick people. So, I mean, you know, we get these little spotlights. But those were not the only people by a long shot, yeah.
Well, it talks several times. Did you find a place where it says, and he healed all those that came to him?
Mm-hmm.
No, something different.
You went to John.
Yeah.
Look at his mind. Read it.
That's a little scary. Yeah.
Well, the end of John 21:25, the very last verse, says, now there are also many other things that Jesus did. Were every one of them to be written, I suppose that the world itself could not contain the books that would be written. And that verse hits me every time because I remember my daughter, shout out to Bridget. I don't think she listens, but that's okay. But anyway.
Does any of your kids listen?
No, I don't think so.
My daughter listens.
There you go. But she had done like a, you know, she has her Bible that she draws and she's very artistic. And she had put on that, we need to talk about that verse more. You know, and how it has struck her. And so since then it has struck me just the fact that you're right. All the things that Jesus did are not contained. We are given snapshots.
A three-year ministry.
We're given what we need. We're given exactly what we need. But there's so much more.
Everything you need.
Everything we need. We don't need anything. There's no new revelation.
Several times says, and he healed all that were brought to him.
Yeah.
How many?
Right.
You know,
it just shows his power that it can be kind of mentioned as, and everybody else.
And one I just read the other day, I'm in Luke, and I was reading, and it said, and people were just touching him, and power was leaving him.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Wow. So have we really dealt with the truth that no one's good?
Not really.
No one's good, that's why we needed Christ to come.
We need Jesus.
Yeah. So as we walk through this, we're going to give you a couple of, how much more time we got now?
Oh, we got a good 6 minutes.
So this one, and we're going to give you a bunch of C words, okay? This is our character. Your character, let's do it again. Myrna, would you read that again? Just verse 10, start it as it is written, and read through 12. Listen to what the Bible really says about us.
Right.
Okay,
you
say that we've been mean today. Right. No, listen to what this is the ESV translation. And then, Nan, I want you to read the New King James if it's really different. Okay.
As it is written, none is righteous, no, not one. No one understands, no one seeks for God. All have turned aside, together they have become worthless. No one does good, not even one.
So there's one difference that, weirdly enough, the New King James softens the blow just a little bit. In verse 12, it says, they have together become unprofitable. It doesn't go for worthless. I kind of dig the worthless in that one. It really gets the point across there.
King James right here. Let's just see what King James says. But listen, I mean, think about what he says right there. I mean, let's walk through it. Dan, walk through it real quick. Begin to walk through it.
So in verse 10, I love this. There's no gray area here. There is none righteous. I love how it goes back because he knows the reaction of people that they're going to encounter the scripture. No, not one. So just in case there was one guy out there saying, well, but maybe. Nope, you're out.
Maybe
no,
it not could one. Be me.
There is none who understands. And this, I love this because I like dealing with like black and white, no gray. Yep. And this is, you say, well, I don't understand what God's doing. Great. Nobody else does either. Yeah, you're not going to be
exactly.
Able to.
You hit on that point. No, that's really what I want. No one understands.
Yeah.
You don't understand it.
Yep.
You may say, well, how can I come to someone and accept them as Savior if I don't understand? That's the work of the Holy Spirit in the midst of saving your butt.
Thank goodness it's not dependent on exactly what you understand.
Exactly.
You don't have all the facts.
Yeah. And that's the reason that some people come to me and go, well, that person is too young. They're only 7 years old. They can't understand everything. Bro, you could be 75 and not understand everything.
Right.
And I believe I got scripture to back that up. Because in 1 Corinthians, I think it's 4, maybe 2nd, but one of the Corinthians, it says that the carnal cannot understand the spiritual.
Yep.
So it backs up the scripture. Yep. Nobody, you think you know everything about scripture? Bro, sis, you don't.
Yep.
Right.
No one understands until you're saved. And then you begin to understand.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Heck, even the angels don't understand everything about salvation, because in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 12, it says that they seek to look into the things.
Mm-hmm. They long to understand it.
Yeah.
Confounds them.
So, and by the way, nobody has a corner market on knowledge.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Even the saved folk.
Mm-hmm.
Although there are some people that think they do. You ought to always be a learner.
And that's the encouragement with people who are first getting into reading scripture. They say, well, I just don't understand. Keep going. Trust the Holy Spirit to guide you through it.
Guide and direct you, yes. All right, hit the next, because I got something to say.
The next one is a big one. There is none who seeks after God.
Now, wait just 1 minute. I can hear Sister Sally Sue and old Righteous Robert saying, I was looking for Jesus. I came on a search.
It's my response.
I'm rubbing off on it. I'm rubbing off on it. Okay, big boy with the why you say that?
Because we know that as sinners, again, going back to the fact that we're in conflict with God, none seek after him. If you begin to feel that need to see, it's because you're being pulled. It's not because you just happen to, you're the only righteous person in all of history to decide, well, I'm going to seek after God.
Can you give me a verse?
Oh, good grief. Yes, I can. And Mona's going to speak it for me.
No, I can't.
In John 3, what did you say? If I be lifted up, I will draw all men to myself. There's one. Mm. We know he was lifted up, and he's gonna be. And then you go into the Holy Spirit. What is his work? In John chapter 16, to do what? Convict of sin. Mm. And that's the first step toward.
The fact that you recognize you're a sinner is proof that God's
and
pulling
so
you.
So it's but God. You know, you go where, and some people say, man, I just don't believe in this. I don't believe, how can something dead? It's because Holy Spirit wakes you up to feel this and understand this. This is easy. Mm-hmm. He tells us there in Ephesians chapter 2 all that we're dead, we're doomed, and we're disobedient, and there's destruction coming, and if I could think of one more D, I'd give it to you. But then he says in verse 4, but God made us alive together. We didn't make ourselves alive.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But God, having been rich in mercy and with his great grace, made us alive together. Well, it is him waking us up, but when he wakes us up to make us alive, we have the choice. Am I going to believe him for who he is, or I'm going to turn my back and say no?
Right.
You never on your own would come to Jesus. Never. Why? You don't know no better. You're a pig in slop. Yep. You sorry, good for nothing, no account, worthless. Blah, blah, blah. Some people are going to say, I just don't think you ought to say it that roughly. I think I should say it worse. Here's why. And I'll never, ever say I'm sorry for saying just how bad we are.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you're like Isaiah and you see God for who he is.
Mm.
when Isaiah finally saw God in Isaiah chapter 6, what was the first thing he said? You know, I want so bad.
Yeah.
He said, I am unclean.
I am unclean. I am one translation. I am undone. Mm-hmm. He said, I, and his first word wasn't, wow, golly gee whiz. You know what his first word was? Whoa.
Whoa is me.
Yeah.
That word undone means I am being ripped apart at the seams. When you get your focus on the holiness and the righteousness of God, you will never see yourself as good as what I made you out to be.
Right.
You're going to see yourself worse. Right. An absolute vomit bucket. Seriously.
Mm-hmm.
Mona is now covering her mouth. That's just nasty.
Well, and we should, as strange as it seems, we got to wrap up.
Just getting good.
That's something to be thankful for, because you don't know to repent from the things that you don't know about. So be thankful that God shows you that through his light, through his truth, so that you can recognize just how wretched you are, so you can begin to repent and change.
What are you doing?
And how does somebody come to the fact, well, you can lose your salvation. So wait, he's going to love me when I'm a pig vomit piece of blah? And he's going to save my sorry butt?
Captions are going to have a great time.
And what? That I'm in the blessed ark the moment I stump my toe, you throw me out?
Right.
So that then I can become... Think about, and then I could become a sinner and dirty rotten, and then you're going to show me love again? Are you nuts?
They are, actually. They're
it's funny you should mention that.
I'm pretty sure.
Well, how we, and by the way, wait a minute, Dan. I'm going to
go. Get it.
How can we lose something that was not up to us?
Right.
You just covered exactly what I was going to say.
Yep. I understand we got free will, but ultimately it's not up to us to save it, because it wasn't us to get it. It was all God. We just said yes. Literally, the only part in our salvation that we have is the sin part that made him go to the cross, and then we say yes. Holy jeez.
Oh, that's beautiful. I'm glad we did.
We're so glad that you were tuned in with us today. I knew it wouldn't get wound up there, because, and the reason that some folk don't want to come, and you said a minute ago that he put it like, there's none right. No, not one.
Yeah,
is because we have people, and let's just be honest, we got people out there that think they are so perfect, so wonderful, that their poop don't stink. And I said that on live air purposefully.
I love it. You know, the ones who think there is one, it's so strange. If you think there is one, it's always you.
Yeah.
You know, there is one, and it just happens to be me out of all humanity.
Out of the 100 and however many billions of people ever born,
little old me.
I'm the one.
Yeah. Isn't that something?
Well, God bless you. So anyway, you're not good. Here's how I want to end, though. But God.
Yes.
Who is rich in mercy and has great grace in which he loved us.
Yep.
So don't worry, y'all. It gets gooder and gooder. First, it's going to get worser and worser.
Right.
Because next week, we're going to talk about your process. Conduct. We're going to talk about your conduct next week, and maybe the cause of it. We might get to 2 points here. But I don't want to leave you just with feeling bad. I want to tell you something. There's a God who loves you, and there's the truth. He loves you in Romans 5:8. I want to read that real quick. I'm going to start whatever verse that is I'm looking at halfway. In verse 6, for while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one person will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person. I love that. Paul wrote in real time, too. Mm-hmm. When Luke was translating, Luke just like, there you go. And Paul just sort of dictated in real time, man. Even though perhaps for a good person, one would dare to even die. But God shows his love for us that while we were still sinners.
Mm-hmm.
I've never had anybody who believes he can lose salvation deal with that verse and tell me clearly, if he would die when we were still sinners, why could he not keep us in the blessed ark?
Right.
Yep.
Right.
Nobody's ever been able to deal with that. And then we're made just. We're by his blood, so the blood quits working.
Right.
So God loves you. That's what I want to end with today, is God loves you. He is rich in mercy, for by grace you have been saved. I love it for rich in mercy because of the great love, and that word great is mega. We get this agape love with which he loved us. Even when we were dead, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. Mm-hmm. I don't know who's out there today. You think you're good enough to get to heaven on your own. I'm here to tell you today, you are not. You need what I got, what Mona got, what Dan got, what every saved person in the history of the world ever got was the grace of God, and that comes by faith believing in Jesus Christ.
That's right.
Understanding who we are.
That's right.
All right. Anything else? I mean, I know we have lived.
No, you're good. Yeah. You're good.
I'm going to have to be quiet on the next one. No. All right. So let's pray. Father, we love you. God, we're so thankful for who you are and the fact that, Lord, you love us so much that you'll draw us even while we're sinners. You'll try to wake us up. You want to show mercy. It's your desire, you tell us in Timothy, that every person come to a saving knowledge of you. And that's your desire, Father. And then when you save us, you can hold on to us and you can keep us and will present us faultless one day before God the Father. Lord, we love you today. Thank you so much in the name of Jesus. Amen. I am Hank Meadows. I am lead pastor of Marion Baptist Church. And I'm thankful you guys have been with us. I got a home slice, the OG, Miss Mona right over there. I got my main man, Pumpkin Eyes, over there, Dan Bean of the board. Thank you guys so much.
Bye, y'all.
Jimmy Jungle.